the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another morning of Madani Channel, another morning of Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, this program is brought to you each and every single day of the week, Mondays to Fridays. My dear viewers, we have our full segments, and you know, mashallah, there was so much, my dear viewers. There still is, alhamdulillah, there still is. Remember, we must always remain healthy, we must always look after our health. But there's something before health, and this is our iman, and this is what we are attempting to cater for, to teach Islam, to spread the message of Islam, the message of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam, the message of the glorious Quran. And for this reason, we always begin our morning, we always begin our rise and shine by listening to the glorious Quran along with the translation of the glorious Quran. Please remember that whilst the Quran is being recited, then it is our duty. It is our duty, my dear viewers, to just put things aside, pause for a minute, and give our full attention to the glorious Quran. The glorious Quran is, my dear viewers, and inshallah, we shall be speaking about the Quran itself very soon. But the glorious Quran, my dear viewers, is our link to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent this message through the great messenger for each and every single one of his creation. My dear viewers, let's listen to the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah Ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rahm wala.
Alif Lam. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم.
اللہ ہے جس کے سوا کسی کی پوجا نہیں، آپ زندہ اوروں کا قائم رکھنے والا.
نزل عليك الكتاب بالحق مصدقا لما بين يديه وأنزل التوراة والإنجيل من قبل هدى للناس وأنزل الفرقان.
اس نے تم پر یہ سچی کتاب اتاری، اگلی کتابوں کی تصدیق فرماتی، اور اس نے اس سے پہلے توریت اور انجیل اتاری، لوگوں کو راہ دکھاتی اور فیصلہ اتارا.
ان الذين كفروا بآيات الله لهم عذاب شديد والله عزيز ذو انتقام.
بے شک وہ جو اللہ کی آیتوں سے منکر ہوئے ان کے لیے سخت عذاب ہے، اور اللہ غالب بدلہ لینے والا ہے.
ان الله لا يخفى عليه شيء في الارض ولا في السماء.
اللہ پر کچھ چھپا نہیں زمین میں نہ آسمان میں.
والذی یصورکم فی الارحام کیف یشاء لا الہ الا هو العزیز الحکیم.
وہی ہے کہ تمہاری تصویر بناتا ہے ماؤں کے پیٹ میں جیسی چاہے، اس کے سوا کسی کی عبادت نہیں، عزت والا حکمت والا.
والذی انزل علیک الکتاب منه آیات محکمات هن ام الکتاب و اخر متشابهات.
وہی ہے جس نے تم پر یہ کتاب اتاری، اس کی کچھ آیتیں صاف معنی رکھتی ہیں، وہ کتاب کی اصل ہیں، اور دوسری وہ ہیں جن کے معنی میں اشتباہ ہے.
فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ.
وہ جن کے دلوں میں کجی ہے وہ اشتباہ والی کے پیچھے پڑتے ہیں گمراہی چاہنے، اور اس کا پہلو ڈھونڈنے کو اور اس کا ٹھیک پہلو اللہ ہی کو معلوم ہے.
والراسخون فی العلم یقولون آمنا به کل من عند ربنا وما یذکر الا اولو الالباب.
اور پختہ علم والے کہتے ہیں ہم اس پر ایمان لائے، سب ہمارے رب کے پاس سے ہے، اور نصیحت نہیں مانتے مگر عقل والے.
ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد اذ ہدیتنا وہب لنا من لدنک رحمہ انک انت الوہاب.
اے رب ہمارے دل ٹیڑے نہ کر بعد اس کے کہ تو نے ہمیں ہدایت دی اور ہمیں اپنے پاس سے رحمت عطا کر، بے شک تو ہے بڑا دینے والا.
ربنا انک جامع الناس لیوم لا ریب فیہ ان اللہ لا یخلف المیعاد.
اے رب ہمارے، بے شک تو سب لوگوں کو جمع کرنے والا ہے اس دن کے لیے جس میں کوئی شبہ نہیں، بے شک اللہ کا وعدہ نہیں بدلتا.
ان الذين كفروا لن تغني عنهم اموالهم ولا اولادهم من الله شيئا.
بے شک وہ جو کافر ہوئے ان کے مال اور ان کی اولاد اللہ سے انہیں کچھ نہ بچا سکیں گے.
وَأُولَئِكَ هُمْ وَقُودُ النَّارِ.
اور وہی دوزخ کے ایندھن ہیں.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, you are watching Rise and Shine, another morning, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, with Madani Channel. We have listened to the glorious Quran. Subsequent to the Quran Sharif, we then move on to the Naat of the greatest of mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wasallam. Every day we have a main topic, and today's topic, my dear viewers, or today, in a way, is a question, isn't it? Who should you trust? Who should I trust? Who should we trust? And this is a brilliant question, my dear viewers. It's a brilliant question, and it's a question which we all face sometime in our life. We all think of this sometime in our life. We think, you know, who can I trust? Because we live life, my dear viewers, and we are always, we're living in a world where there's a lot of socializing. We are regularly meeting new people. You know, when we go to our schools, we're meeting new people. When you go to high school, college, universities, when you are going to weddings, wherever you go, and where, you know, there's this craze, in a way, just people like to get to know more people. This is just something which is happening on an increase. You know, there's more socializing, which does take place. Previously, people used to be spread out in their own villages, and there wasn't as much socializing outside of the village. So throughout our lives, we come to know more and more people. And as time goes by, we also either just lose touch with those people. Sometimes they see life moves on. People move on in life. You lose touch with those people. Or sometimes those relationships even break. And there must be a reason for those relationships to break. And one of the reasons could be that you no longer trust that person. You no longer have any trust in that person. Because whenever you thought that, or whenever you expected that person to act in a particular manner, he did not do so. We're not, this is not a blame game. It could be I myself am in the wrong. It could be he's in the wrong. That's a separate matter. But then we always do think, you know, I can't trust this person. I can't trust that person. These people I cannot trust. We come across some sort of difficulty maybe, some sort of hardship in our lives. And we think to ourselves that, you know, should I share this with such and such person? But then you refrain from sharing it. Why? Because I can't trust that person. He's going to tell people. Should I tell this person a secret? No, I can't trust that person. Shall I borrow? Somebody's asking to borrow money. Shall I give him some money? Shall I lend some money? No, I can't trust this person. So my dear viewers, the question remains, who can we trust? Who can we trust? And subhanAllah, it is a beautiful question. The answer for which we shall be bringing very, very soon. There's not a definite answer. There is some parts of the answer which are definite. For example, and I'll tell you, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no doubt about it. But it will differ, it will be subjective, depending on the person himself, the individual, as to when it comes to the people, who can such a person trust? But my dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah, we have listened to the glorious Quran. And after having listened to the Quran, we move on to the Na'at of the greatest of mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Kya gizo kapta shafaat मुझे क्या कम है तू समझा
Hey!
کی نسیمیں بجتے خون روتے آئیں گے ہم مسکراتے جائیں گے ہاں چلو مسرت مسرتو مسیحوں سبھی سبھی سے کہیں کہیں بھی بنی یہ بے خبری بر خلق پھری کہاں سے کہاں تمہارے لیے جنا میں چمن چمن میں سمن سمن میں پبن پبن میں دلہن سدائے میہن بے ایسے منن یہ امن و امان تمہارے لیے عطائے عرب لائے کرب عطائے عرب جلائے کرب بیوں سے عجب بغیر طلب یہ رحمت رب ہے کس کے سبب رب جہاں تمہارے جائیں گے کچھ خبر بھی ہے فقیروں کچھ خبر بھی ہے فقیروں کچھ خبر بھی ہے فقیروں آج وہ دن ہے کہ وہ نعمت خلد اپنے صدقے میں لٹاتے جائیں گے استادوں پر سن کے آنے ہی کی دیر ہے خطبوں گر کر سجدے میں تم کو اٹھاتے جائیں گے وسعتیں دی گئے خدا نے دامن محبوب کو جرم کھلتے جائیں گے اور وہ چھپاتے جائیں گے لوگ آئے مسکراتے بجلی گراتے جائیں گے کیا ریزوں کو بزا شفاعت ہے تمہاری ہوا
ہم سے چوروں پہ جو فرمائے کرم خلعت زر بنے مشتاروں کے کیسے آقاؤں کا بندہ ہوں رضا بول والے میری سرکاروں کے تیرے ابرو تیرے ابرو تیرے ابرو جن سے اشارہ کر کے مجرموں کو چھڑواؤ گے تیرے ابرو کے تب تک تم پیارے بند کرے
حبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Dear viewers of Madinah channel, mashallah, you are watching Rise and Shine. As each and every single morning, I am hoping. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us within the glorious Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ which translates us from Kanz al-Iman, and whosoever relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala suffices him. This is beautiful. And in another verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ, that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those people who trust, who have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two verses of the glorious Quran, my dear viewers, teaching us about the importance of trust. And ultimately, trust is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ultimately, meaning there's nobody that can be trusted above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, what do I mean by this? Meaning that even if I was to trust in another person, I must first have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before having trust in that person. You must understand this, my dear viewers. If you were given medicine, you trust your doctor. If you didn't trust your doctor, you wouldn't be going to him. But generally, we trust. Well, there are some doctors you may rarely come across who you cannot trust. But otherwise, you will trust your doctor. Generally, the doctor you go to. You trust your doctor. Now, your doctor, when he discovers some sort of illness, when you're diagnosed with whatever the illness may be, he may even just say it's a migraine. And he may just give you some sort of aspirin, some sort of medication, tablets, whatever it may be, just for that migraine. Or even if it's something else. Now, because your doctor gave this to you, because it was your doctor that gave this to you, you would, with confidence, without any fear whatsoever, you would take that tablet and you would eat it. You would consume the tablet. And you would have this trust that when I eat this tablet will have some sort of effect. Or you will trust the doctor that this tablet is safe for me, is good for me, is for my benefit. My dear viewers, even before your trust within that tablet, even before your trust within that doctor, there must be trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what I mean by everything goes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you were to discuss or speak about trust in the people can only come after trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who can we trust? You know, you mean the straight up answer, my dear viewers, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should trust, and we must trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is firstly, my dear viewers. And secondly, let's just say we were to have trust in other people. We were to trust in other people. Then a question is, who can we trust? And as I mentioned before, this is something which is subjective. This is not something I can give an answer to. This is something we all need to ask ourselves and come up with some sort of answer. Who can we trust in? But there is some sort of guidelines we can speak about. There are some sort of guidelines. You should trust in such and such people and you should refrain from such and such people. So where do we begin, my dear viewers? You will take, this is just generally my, well, you know, something which I think of. What I would say, that firstly you must remember, inshallah we shall speak about trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear viewers, but generally who can you trust? You can normally trust those people who are close to you. And initially, a person trusts one person. Initially, a person trusts one person and that's their mother. When a person is born, they have trust in their mother. When they are hungry, their mother is going to feed them. Whenever there's any sort of problem, and this is why we cry out. Immediately we cry to gain somebody's attention. And when we see that it's our mother, we keep seeing our mother's face, then we build trust in our mother. And I think this is one person whose trust people never lose. And sadly, it's not 100%, This is not 100% because sometimes you do have it, but nearly every time, and in 99% of the cases, this is the mother is one person whose trust you never lose. You can always trust your mother. You can always trust your mother because even if you were to harm your mother, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect each and every single one of us from ever causing any harm to their mother. But even if somebody was to bring some sort of harm to their mother, even then, that mother's love, as we said, that mother's trust is unconditional. It doesn't matter what you do, your mother, you can always trust her. This is one person. And then your father, my dear viewers. Your father is somebody you can always trust. So who can I trust? You can always trust your parents. And we should firstly we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but from the people, my dear viewers, we should first trust our parents. Because what happens is sometimes we grow up and remember, there's something we need to understand is that there is one thing which is intelligence. One thing is intelligence. Another is wisdom. These are not the same. One is intelligence and one is wisdom. In fact, a story which comes to mind is said that once there was these people and their lives were depending on it. Their lives were depending on it. They had to do something. What did they have to do? There was 100 people, if I remember correctly, but inshallah, we'll go to the moral of the story, which is more important. And somebody said that you must eat 100 sheep. You must eat 100 sheep. If you cannot do so, then you will either be killed or whatever it may be. Now, those people thought, we have to eat 100 sheep. Now, how should we do it? How should we do this? The simple answer was, one person should consume each one sheep. Simple. But then, my dear viewers, there was an elderly person amongst them. And this elderly person said that, no, do not do this. How many people can eat a full sheep, my dear viewers? Not many people. An elderly person was amongst them. And he says that, no, do not do it like this. What to do? One sheep, spread it amongst the people. And then the second one, spread it amongst the people. Everybody thinks all I get is a small amount. What's this going to be? This is nothing. And they eat that small amount, they're still hungry. Another one comes, they eat, and they continue to eat until all 100 are finished. And those people who said this, who gave him this task, they themselves were amazed and they said, this could not have been any of you. You must have an elderly person amongst you. My dear viewers, why am I mentioning this story? And just generally, if you were to think about this, if you were to take a little amount, and sometimes when the food is coming after a very, very long time, you realize that you can eat much more, my dear viewers. There's so much more. And this is wisdom in comparison to intelligence. Let's inshallah azzadul go to our daily reminder and then we shall continue with our topic. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, Allah azza wa jal has given us many, many blessings. If you wish to count the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal, you will never be able to do so. That is how many blessings Allah Ta'ala has given us. We can't even count them. Now, when Allah Azza wa Jal has given all these blessings, in return, what we should do is we should thank Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, even if you take it into a world context, when someone gives you something, we say, Jazakallahu khaira, we say thank you to them. Why? Because they've given you something, and in return, you are saying thank you to them. You're saying Jazakallahu khaira. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal has given us so much to an extent that no person in the dunya can give you something that you can't count. You know, there will be something that, there will be a figure that you can put towards them. I have done favors upon you once, twice, thrice, a few times, a few dozen times. But Allah Azza wa Jal has given us so many ni'mats. But then Allah Ta'ala, how many times do we thank Him? Allah Azza wa Jal mentions translation from Kanzul Iman, and remember when your Lord proclaimed, if you are grateful, I will give you more. And if you are ungrateful, then my punishment is severe. So Allah Azza wa Jal, the more you thank Him, the more He will give you. Everything that we have today, our lives, our property, our wealth, our family, our children, our health, everything that we have today was gift from Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah Ta'ala doesn't want anything in return, but that we worship Him and we thank Him for that as well. Sadrullah Fazil Mawlana Naimuddin Murad Abadi Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Alayhi in Khazain al-Irfan, he mentions the tafsir, the commentary of this. This ayat se malum hua ke shukr se ni'mat ziyada hoti hai. When you thank Allah Azza wa Jal, that will bring you more barakat in your life as well. And Hazrat Sayyiduna Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala is baat par bahut khush hota hai ke banda har niwale aur har goond par Allah ta'ala ka shukr ada kare. That Allah ta'ala is so pleased with that person. Every morsel of food that he takes, he thanks Allah. Every sip of water that he drinks, he thanks Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah is pleased with that person. A person, the one who thanks Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who praises Allah Azza wa Jal, and a pious wife, these are all ni'mats of Allah Azza wa Jal. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability to thank Him all the time. We have so much that we have in our lives. It doesn't take a million seconds. It doesn't take a million years just to say, Jazakallah. Oh Allah, I thank you. I thank you for this life. I thank you for the ni'mats. I thank you for everything. We cannot thank enough what He has given us. May Allah Ta'ala keep showering His mercy and His blessings upon us. Alhamdulillah, this beautiful environment of Dawat-e-Islami is a ni'mat of Allah. Amir al-Sunnah is a ni'mat of Allah. Our parents are a ni'mat of Allah. Your brothers and your sisters are all a ni'mat of Allah. Before you sleep, before we finish this life, keep thanking Allah Azza wa Jal. The more we thank Him, the more Allah Ta'ala will reward us.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah, a beautiful message from our respected Hafiz Rafaqat Sahib, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, we must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything He has given us. Today, we were speaking about the difference, and there is a difference between intelligence and wisdom. There's a difference between intelligence and wisdom. Wisdom, just as I've mentioned in the parable, my dear viewers. Now, intelligence is something which an individual can develop. He can develop by reading, by learning, by spending time. And there are ways, there are methods of developing a person's intelligence. But wisdom is not something which a person can just learn, can just take. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants somebody wisdom, you know, like He granted the prophets alayhi salatu wasalam wisdom, that's a separate matter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving it to them. But generally, it's not something which a person can read in a book. You know, this book contains wisdom, read this and you will be wise. It doesn't work like that, my dear viewers. Wisdom is something which comes with time. It comes with experience. It comes with, you know, a lot of difficulty sometimes. Sometimes a lot of striving. After having much experience, a person becomes wise. He becomes more wise. Now, an elderly person possesses wisdom. Sometimes we think, and I'm taking this back to the parents, sometimes we think that now we are older, I know more than my mother and my father. I know more. They don't know. They've not lived in this country. They were born in another country. They've not experienced what we've experienced. You know, they were just working all the time. They've not felt the psychological pressure. Yes, they had the physical difficulty they went through, but not the psychological. Well, what do they know? What do they know? These are the things we say. These are the things we say. But my dear viewers, there's something they have really. Something which a person cannot attain by reading books. You think, you know, I am intelligent. People recognize me as an intelligent person. But I promise you, when you go back, when you are in a struggle, whatever struggle it may be, and you were to go back and you were to share this with your parents, then they would give you some very, very good advice. They would give you some very, very good advice. So you should trust in your parents first. Many times we will go tell things to people, and sometimes just telling other people around, this will increase, exacerbate the problem. It will make it even worse, my dear viewers. But if we had shared such with our parents, then they would have been able to advise us. So the question is, who can we trust? Firstly, trust in your parents. And this is firstly, ultimately, as I mentioned before, and I will mention again, firstly, your trust is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your trust is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This we cannot forget. But from amongst the people, trust your parents, because the parents' trust, the parents' love for you is unconditional. You know, you've done nothing for them, yet they will give you everything. They will give you their life. They will sacrifice their life for you. And this is something which somebody would do without question, really. A parent will easily sacrifice their life for their child. Trust in your parents, and trust in your parents first. And sometimes, let's just say, even if your parent doesn't know nothing, then even then, seeking advice from them, mashwara, my dear viewers, there is blessings in this. And by doing so, you can also get your parents' dua. And then in the work you perform, you'll be able to perform it with in a better way, in a better manner. So trust in your parents. And then a person will think, right, what if I don't have parents? Who can I trust? And this is where it becomes subjective. I will not say this is this person who you can definitely trust. A person doesn't know, because suddenly we're living in a time where we can hardly trust anybody. But if we look towards the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then your elder brother takes the place of your father. Your aunties take the place of your mother. So if possible, if you will yourself take a look at the situation, and then you will come to this decision. So this is who can we trust in this world. Generally, you can trust those people who are Islamic, meaning they are good Muslims, they act upon the Quran, they act upon the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the people who never lie. If you've seen that this person is, you've never seen him tell a lie, you've never heard him tell a lie. And this is rare, especially nowadays, this is very rare. But if there was to be a person, you know, this person never told a lie. This person can keep promises. He's not a person who just loves attention, loves to spread rumors. Then trust that person. And we need to have more trust in the world. Recently, we mentioned a story about a king who would kill somebody intermittently. One day he would reward somebody, the next day he would kill somebody. And that person says that, okay, just kill me later on, kill me tonight. Please don't kill me now, I need to go bring food for my family, they have nobody. And he says, okay, but who will be your guarantor? Who will guarantee that you shall return? And he says that this person who was with the king, he says, he'll be my guarantor. That person accepted. So just this trust, this saved another person's life. And we do need to have more trust in the world, my dear viewers. Trust, what I mean by we need to have more trust in the world is not trust the world. Undoubtedly, our trust is only for the creator of the world. But in this life, we need to have some more trust. We are losing this. This is one of the things, one of the many things which we don't find much nowadays. Respect for elders, we hardly see this nowadays. trust in another person without knowing him, but just to have that trust. We need some more trust, my dear viewers. As I mentioned, ultimately, our trust should be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should trust, even when we're trusting our parents, this is our trust for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we trust our parents. If you have a very, very good friend, trust that person. But even before you place your trust in your friend, first you place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the rule, simple. First, you must understand that whatever it is trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That tablet, we mentioned medicine, that medicine you have trust in, you think this medicine will cure me. Whenever I've had a migraine, I was to take this aspirin, I feel better, my migraine goes straight away. Even that migraine, you must trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must understand that only if Allah, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who grants shifa. By means of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall grant me shifa. This is what we must understand. It's not the tablet itself which shall cure me. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall cure me by means of the tablet. So even when taking a tablet, we must have this trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that shall cure me. Because whatever object it may be, whatever food it may be, and whatever benefits we gain from these, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting us these benefits. Whatever effect anything has, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the property, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting this. If you switch the light on, and for the room to become lighted, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are ill, you were to take a tablet, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting you shifa. If you are having a drink and your thirst has been quenched, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quenching your thirst. We've heard, haven't we, that during the time of Karbala, when a person was cursed because he did not give water to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you know, Hazrat Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "Yeah, I'll make this person die from thirst." And that person, he was rushing towards the water, towards the sea. And he would drink as much as he wished, but he would never quench his thirst. Why? Because you can drink as much water as you want. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that quenches your thirst. You can take food for energy, but it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can consume that food. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that shall give you this energy. Fire burns. But the effect of burning, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who makes it burn. And there's another beautiful example, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've all heard this. That when a huge fire was built, and he said it took days, some say 40 days. I'm not just referring to a little fire, no. I don't know if you've seen a huge fire. Remember, I saw a huge fire once, really. This is them trying to make the fire so large, trying to ignite it and make it so huge. And this fire was so big that you can't go and just put something in there to burn it, no. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, they made a catapult. A catapult is one of those mechanisms by which you throw something. And they placed Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam within this catapult. And they threw Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam into the fire. At a distance, due to the heat, and really when there's a huge fire, you can feel it at a distance. It's hot, you feel like you're face is really, really burning. You have to cover your face. You can barely even look at it. And this is one which was made for 40 days, which was built. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was thrown into the fire. But the question is, did the fire burn Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam? No. He trusted in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the angels of the wind said, "Go out, blow the fire out." Angels of rain, all the angels would come down and say, "Look, I'll remove this fire if you wish, I'll extinguish this fire." This is before Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was sent, was thrown into the fire. But Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, who was Khalilullah, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows my situation and I trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was thrown into the fire, then this fire did not burn him. This fire, rather, it became cool. It became cool. So the effect of that fire, my dear viewers, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gives the fire that effect. So in this instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give it. Why? Because nothing can burn, nothing can take place without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishing for it. And so the fire did not burn Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He remained there, I think, 7 days, some say 40, 50 days. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam remained in there for this much time, really. So many days, yet he was peaceful. He was in peace, he was in ease. My dear viewers, this is trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, who was thrown aboard from the ship. Now who would ever imagine for a whale to take Hazrat Ibrahim? And whales are huge, my dear viewers. Whales are huge. To take Hazrat Ibrahim, to take this Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, in his mouth. Why? He had this trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when you're going into the ocean, imagine the amount of things in the ocean. We've not even discovered how many types of fish or creatures there are in the ocean. And many of them are poisonous, so they have so many ways of, you know, killing or consuming a person. But from all of those, a whale was sent. One of the most peaceful, my dear viewers. And protected Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? This was his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who should you trust? Our trust should first be in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear viewers, each and every single day we have a daily reminder. We've listened to our daily reminder to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever and every time, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear viewers, we also have a daily hadith sharif, and we shall now move to our daily hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please listen attentively, try to remember the hadith sharif, and also whatever advice is given, try to act upon it. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Dear Islam brothers, inshallah Azza wa Jal, I will go through some sunnahs and manners of eating. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala has narrated that the noblest Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam stated, "The one who likes that Allah azza wa jal increase blessing in his home, then he should make ablution when meal is served, and also make ablution when it is taken away." A great thinker of Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yarhan rahmatullah ta'ala, has stated, "It is the ablution before meal refers to the cleaning hands and mouth, that is washing hands and rinsing mouth. While eating food, keep the left leg folded on the ground and keep the right knee upright." Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala narrated, the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has stated, "Take off shoes when sitting to eat food. There is comfort for you in it. Recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim before eating." Sayyidina Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated, the noblest Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam stated, "The food on which Bismillah is not recited, certain consider it lawful for him. If you forget to recite Bismillah at the beginning of the meal, recite Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhirah when you remember. Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu ta'ala has narrated, the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu ta'ala sallam has stated, when anyone amongst you eats food, he should recite Bismillah before eating. If he forgets to recite Bismillah in the beginning, then he should recite Bismillahi awwalahu wa akhirah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sunnahs and manners of eating food, my dear viewers. Remember, the one who gives us our food, the one who gives us our sustenance is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people think that I'm not earning enough. I'm not earning enough and I wish to earn more. And by doing these sort of jobs, you can't earn enough. Many people think, I'm going to work for somebody else. There's only so much I'm going to be earning. I'd be losing out on so much, but if I was to do something else, something which is prohibited, I may be earning more. I may earn, you know, much more. Let's do this. And some people think that, you know, if I was to have just a normal job, how would I be earning so much? But if those people really understood that, who is it that is giving you your sustenance right now? Right now you are rich, it may not be legitimate. Your income is illegitimate, your income is haram. But even then, who is it that's giving you your sustenance right now? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, by you disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has still continued to grant you sustenance. So do you think that if you were to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you were to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you were to act upon the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stop giving you sustenance? No, my dear viewers. They said that there was this worshipper, a person who would spend his time in the masjid. He would spend all his time in the masjid worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And somebody would come and give this person food. What food this person gives, we shall hear very, very soon. First, we'll take a quick break, inshallah, we'll go to a kalam, and then we shall continue with this parable. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
مولا يا صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولا يا صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
أمّا الماستر ديسن بيس And blessings countlessly, eternally, upon your beloved, the best of creation.
Muhammadun Sayyidul Kawnaini wa Saqanaini. Muhammadun Sayyidul Kawnaini wa Saqanaini wal Fari. Qaini min Urdin wa min Ajami.
آپ ہیں حضرت محمد سرور ہر دو سرا آپ ہیں حضرت محمد سرور ہر دو سرا آپ ہیں عرب و عجم جن و بشر کے پیشوا آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
محمد is the leader of both worlds, both creation.
Muhammad is the leader of both worlds, both creation.
And even both groups, Arabs and Rajam.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan فيك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحين
آپ ہیں محبوب حق اور شافع روض جزا آپ ہیں محبوب حق اور شافع روض جزا ناگہانی آفتوں میں آپ کا ہے آسرا آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
He is the beloved whose intercession is hoped. He is the beloved whose intercession is hoped. For in every sudden calamity,
Mawlaya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habib. بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به سواك عند حلول الحديث العمامي
اکرم المخلوق مانگو اور میں کس سے پناہ اکرم المخلوق مانگو اور میں کس سے پناہ حادثات عام میں ہے آپ میری تکیہ گاہ آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
O most noble of creation, I've learned to seek refuge. O most noble of creation, I've learned to seek refuge. In other than you and universal calamities descend.
Mawlaya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habib. بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها ومن علومك علم اللوح والقلم
بے شبہ دونوں جہاں ہے آپ کا جود و کرم بے شبہ دونوں جہاں ہے آپ کا جود و کرم آپ کے کل علم کا ایک جزو ہے لوح و قلم آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
So indeed the world and the hereafter are from your grace. So indeed the world and the hereafter are from your grace. And part of your knowledge is the knowledge of the preserved tablet and the pen.
Mawlaya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habib. بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا يا ربي بالمصطفى
بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم.
اے خدا دیتا ہوں تجھ کو مصطفیٰ کا واسطہ، اے خدا دیتا ہوں تجھ کو مصطفیٰ کا واسطہ، پورے فرما سب مقاصد بخش دے میرے گناہ، آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام.
O my Rabb, by the chosen one, fulfill our wishes. O my Rabb, by the chosen one, fulfill our wishes. And forgive us for what has passed.
Mawla ya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habi بيك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Today we will speak about trust. Trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trust in the people. How should it be, my dear viewers? As I mentioned, that even when you trust in the people, this should be your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, you trust in the people should be through or from your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. And I gave many examples to this, but how do we relate, how do we bring them both together, mashallah? This is a beautiful parable. As I began saying, that a person who would spend his entire time in the masjid worshipping. He would spend all his time in the masjid worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wouldn't leave. He had this trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is rare, this is. This trust which he had, honestly, is rare. He never thought about, will food come to me today? Will it not come to me? Nothing like that. So I trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gives sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall give me, says, why am I worried about food? I'll continue with my worship. And he worships and he continues to worship. He spends his entire time. A person comes, he brings two pieces of bread or two loaves of bread and he gives it to him. And then that person leaves. And every single day, whilst this pious saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worshipping, once a day that person with the bread comes and gives it to him. Every single day. Now this worshipper, he thought to himself that, am I truly trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because I'm taking this bread from another person. So maybe I'm trusting somebody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this question may come to mind. If you're trusting another person, you're trusting your parents, you are trusting somebody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the question. So this is what this person thinks. So then the next day when that person comes, he rejects the food. He does not take the food from that person. He does not take the bread from that person. Why? Because he wishes to solely have that trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's thinking to himself that maybe if I was to take this, this is me having trust in somebody else other than Allah. I cannot take this bread. He doesn't take it. And that entire day he goes hungry. The next day, again he goes hungry. He doesn't take the bread. The third day he goes hungry. Some days go by, my dear viewers. A week goes by. And yes, a person can last without food for a week and even longer. You know, possibly up to a month or so. Allahu alam. But the time came when this person was no longer able to do anything. You know, it came to the time that he was thinking he's about to die now. Remember, water is a separate matter. Water a person requires, he can't possibly last 3 days or so without water. But without food, a person can last possibly up to a month. Now, he was thinking that I'm going to die then. If this is the case, then I will end up dying. I don't have no food, I've not eaten. But I don't wish to trust somebody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when that person brings the bread, I'm not going to take it. And then he cries out in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, you grant me sustenance. I do not wish to take it from another person. Ya Allah, I have trust in you and only in you, Ya Allah. You grant me my sustenance. And it said that when he went to sleep, then he saw a vision. He was in the grand court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's asked that why was it, whenever I sent you food, whenever I sent you sustenance, you rejected it. I sent you sustenance through my bondsman, through my servant, and you rejected this. And that worshipper, he replies, he says, that I thought that by taking bread from this man, I was trusting in a person and I did not have complete reliance upon you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, only you are the provider. It is you that gives sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, next time when I send you food, do not reject it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he addresses that person who was giving the food. He was also there. The person who every single day he would bring that food, subhanAllah, just giving sadaqah, as we mentioned. Just giving sadaqah, giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is when a person gives it with sincerity. This is the great rank he can't attain, he can't achieve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, that who did he give it to? And he says, Ya Allah, I gave the bread to you, meaning for your sake, I gave it to your servant. And he says, it's only for your sake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then if it's for my sake, then you continue to give it. If it is for me, you continue to give it and I shall reward you. Paradise shall be your reward in return. But what's important here, my dear viewers, is the lesson to take from this. The lesson to take from this story is we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. And we also trust in other people. As I mentioned, you know, trust your parents. Trust those people who are considered to be trustworthy. But my dear viewers of Madani Channel, we must understand that when we trust them, it's not that we are not trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But our trust in them should be our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you can trust them. Because whatever you are being given, if somebody, for example, in this case, if somebody is giving you food, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving it to you. Yes, it's through the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you trust another person, this is your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you trust in another person. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, please try to adopt this trust, firstly in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then if you can, try to, there should be more trust in the world. And if you look at how Rasulullah, you know, we gave examples of other prophets, undoubtedly the greatest of all was Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And it's subhanAllah, so beautiful that one of the titles of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was Al-Ameen. The beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of his titles amongst the people, No, he was known as Sadiq, a person who is truthful, and Al-Amin, a person who is trustworthy. And remember, a person who is not truthful cannot be trustworthy. You cannot have a person who is always lying. If remember, this is just something to keep note of, my dear viewers, that if you are with a person, and this person is lying to somebody else, and you see that this person is always lying, then this person can also lie to you. So you need to be careful. Who are your friends? Who accompanies you? Who are those individuals who accompany you? Who are those people you can trust? And we're coming, we're speaking about Rasulullah ﷺ, who's known as the truthful. Rasulullah ﷺ, it's not that nobody ever heard Rasulullah ﷺ tell a lie. Rasulullah ﷺ never told a lie. Rasulullah ﷺ, even his enemies trusted him. This is something that's beyond what we understand trust to be. Really. It's beyond what we understand trust to be. We would give something to somebody, to anyone. We would trust people, you know, we may trust people. But a person we would never trust is our enemy. Somebody who's trying to kill me, why would we trust that person? The enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those people who wished Mazala to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had trusted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with their gold. Such people had trusted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because he was the trustworthy. And we are speaking about others. Who can I trust? There's another question which comes along with this. A very, very important question that comes along with this. This question is, can I be trusted? This is the question, my dear viewers. You know, we are asking, who can I trust? Who can we trust? Who can you trust? But another question should be, can I be trusted? My dear viewers of Madani Channel, we shall move for a quick segment, inshallah, and then we shall come back to this question. Can I be trusted? Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A multi-dimensional personality, Imam Muhammad Raza.
When we talk about, so nowadays there's a lot of what we call freestyle poetry, where basically people would write down their thoughts and it follows a sort of a pattern, a rhythm, and that becomes a nazm. But if we go back, you know, when Sayyid Alat Rahmatullah Ta'ala wrote, the competition was fierce. There were poets all around the world, and the categories of poetry, the art of this poetry, was so stratified that in order to comply with all those principles of poetry, it wasn't easy at all. And the beauty of Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullah Ta'ala is that any branch of that poetry, any form of that poetry, any category, his view was that there should never be a category of poetry which is not affiliated with the love of the Holy Prophet. So I want to share several examples, but if we start with the simplest one. So this is that everybody, I'm sure, would have heard of this. So this is one extreme on that spectrum which Sayyidi Alat Rahmatullah Ta'ala presented, which is called Sanat-e Sahal Mumtane. Sahal means easy. So even the word, so the category is such that this is the form of poetry which is easy to say and understand. And he said, Sabse Ola O Ala Hamara Nabi. Sabse Bala O Ala Hamara Nabi. Apne Maula Ka Pyara Hamara Nabi. Dono Alam Ka Dula Hamara Nabi. And then, you know, so this is one category, one form he used. And then, on the other hand, he had that where he gave that example of, so this was, you know, the easiest form. And then when it came to describing the most difficult, even Arabic poets found it difficult to write something like that. So this is another branch or another category, another form, and it's called Sanate Azalu Shafatayn. So Shafatayn means lips, Azal means separate. So the beauty of this kalam, this poetry, is that throughout the whole kalam, the lips won't meet. And the most difficult, Arabic poets would, you know, would tremble to try and even attempt writing something. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he wrote a whole kalam, he said, and if you look at my lips, you would see they don't meet. Sayyid-e Kaunain, Sultan-e Jahan, Zill-e Yazdan, Shah-e-Di, Arsh-Aastan, Tu na tha, to kuch na tha, Tu na ho, kuch na ho, Tu hi tu hai, Jaan-e Jahan.
Subhan.
So this is just the first, you know, the matla, the first couplet, and then look at how he finishes. So the last couplet is called Maqta. So when the kalam finishes, and again, so throughout this kalam, the lips don't meet, and in the end, he says, he recognizes, and now he wants to show it to everyone who's reading this. And don't think this is something simple. I have gone to this length to show the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jis tarah hond is ghazal se dur hai, dil se yuhi dur ho har zann o zaan. Don't bring for a moment any doubt about the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The way my lips don't meet throughout this kalam.
Yeah, yeah.
Similarly, I don't want your heart to ever meet a doubt when you're talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Excellent, mashallah.
A multi-dimensional personality, Imam Muhammad Raza.
Sallu alil Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Dear viewers of the channel, you are watching Rise and Shine. Now, I was speaking a little about, well, there was another question, as I mentioned, that we should be asking. And this question is, can I be trusted? This is, mashallah, you know, a question I wish to pose to our guest, inshallah, when he does join us, my dear viewers. And there's something which I did remember, I mentioned previously about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These people, they trusted in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not even know who he was. They did not even know who he was. This is something which is unique to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He possessed that awe, didn't he? He possessed that charisma about him. That person would just look at him and he would trust that person. A person who's always been trustworthy throughout his entire life, he gains this awe, he gains this sort of charisma. He gains this sort of, what do you call it, the robe, as we would say, where that self-presence he would have. And yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did return it. He sent a messenger with dates, because it was agreed that he would pay him in dates. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent dates by means of a messenger, and the messenger said, first you eat here, all of you eat, and then after that you can consider whatever's left over to be the payment, and there would be enough. Subhanallah, this is Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam. Now my dear viewers, mashallah, we have been joined by our guest, a guest who, mashallah, does bring light to our morning, Rise and Shine, my dear viewers of Madani channel. Once again, our respected and honorable Usman Madani sahib, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, he has joined us. MashaAllah. Usman, I hope you are well and in the best of health.
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, how are you?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Usman, the first question is, who can we trust? We'll get straight into it because we don't have much time.
Who can we trust? SubhanAllah. First of all, the topic is amazing, and as a simple answer, the answer is present in the Holy Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, فَتَوَكَّلَ اللَّهُ. Trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is another verse in the Holy Quran. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. The one who places his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is sufficient for him. Now the problem comes onto our definition of trust. When something happens and we say, trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Place your hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have tried, mashallah, keep on trying. Put your trust in Allah. So the reply is, I trust Allah, but I trust Allah. If, you know, we have too much of buts and ifs, that, you know, if this happens, if that happens. So that is lack of trust. Like, for example, you know, in terms of patience, when someone passes away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from such events and tragedies. So what happens is, a person will do all sorts of, you know, survival all sorts of mourning and crying and everything, swearing and taking out anger and frustration. And then when it is said that, have patience. Sabar karo. Sabar to karo. This is my patience. What else can I do apart from sabar? That is not sabar. Likewise, when it is said that, keep your trust in Allah. What else can I do? This is trust in Allah. So that's not, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be like how the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was in the ghar, in the cave when Sayyidina Rasulullah and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala were there. The enemies had come, and the whole incident is mentioned in the Holy Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam tells Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with us. Don't fear. You don't need to fear. And subhanallah, naturally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made such ways and such subhanallah arrangements that the non-Muslims could not come there. In fact, they came there also, but the pigeon had laid eggs, the spider had drawn webs. So these were the results of keeping the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be kamil, it should be complete, inshallah.
What a mashallah, beautiful example. That example is a perfect one. Honestly, you can have just a separate, I would just upon that example, as Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, he says that if he was to look down, he would have seen me. This is, you know, how close they were from being seen, my dear viewers, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had nevertheless protected them. Now we have spoken about trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but is there any trust in the people? Now, who can you trust? Who do you trust, Usman bhai?
Trusting the people, I saw a video of Haji Abdul Hadi that we should trust others and we should also make ourselves trustworthy of others. Sometimes what happens is a person needs to make a mahram-e-raz, a person who can keep your secrets. You need someone who can keep your secrets, to whom you can share things to. That can be your children, that can be your parents, it can be your wife. You know, we need to create that sense and that relationship of trust in one another. Haji Abdul Habib mentioned that...
I hope that could be a husband too.
Hello. So Haji Abdul Habib was mentioning that sometimes what happens is that there is so much of lack of trust that a person has money, he has bank accounts, he has this business, he has that business, but he is hiding from everyone. He does not trust his wife, so he's hiding from the wife as well, does not trust the children, hiding from the children as well, does not trust the brothers, hiding from the brothers as well. The person has died. Nobody knows where is his money. Nobody knows what is, you know, access to the banks. In fact, nobody knows how many bank accounts does he have. He says that the state bank in Pakistan, the banking department, they hold such accounts for a certain amount of years and then they have an inquiry on that. There was an inquiry on this other account. There was approximately 1.25 billion rupees in the person's account. But there was no one to claim, no one to come, and the account holder had died long time ago. So that amount could be used to make a masjid. That amount could be used to serve to a Jamiatul Madina, to serve so many Huffaz. It could, you know, even not in that, at least the family members, the inheritors could benefit from that. But no, because of lack of trust, a person loses in all directions. So we should make ourselves trustworthy by speaking the truth, by becoming a good listener, and by becoming a person who is able to keep secrets of others. When we ourselves try to become like that, we will, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, get our life as well. That people, like for example, if a smoker goes to a certain place, like just to exaggerate, if a smoker even goes to the moon, he will find 2-3 friends who are smokers. So likewise, if you are truthful, you are a namazi, inshallah, you go somewhere where there is no masjid, but still you will have 2-3 friends who are namazis and you guys will be performing salah together, inshallah. So a person finds his jinn, the person finds his kind very quickly. So when you are trustworthy and truthful, inshallah, you will also find your kind very quickly.
Subhanallah, and mashallah, that's beautiful, my dear viewers. We've been speaking so much about, you know, who can we trust? And the question does occur and should occur to us that are we trustworthy? Do we possess such characteristics that other people can trust us. And this is something very important. MashaAllah, as the brother mentioned, yes, we do need to have trust in other people too. And remember, our trust in other people is our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Usman bhai, jazakallahu khaira for joining us, for giving us your time. Any last words, Usman bhai?
As last words, I would only say that this is rise and shine. Subhanallah, our Shahbaz bhai is coming every day with new topics. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Shahbaz bhai. Trust is a recipe of success. So when we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should not have any doubts about it. Meaning, trust should be 100% pure. It should not be associated with any sort of doubt. You have placed your trust. Now, apparently the situations may seem opposite. Don't worry about it. Just trust on your trust. Inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, everything.
MashaAllah. Bless you for giving us your time. My dear viewers of Madani channel, that was our respected Usman Madani from Malawi, MashaAllah, Azza wa Jalla, who was telling us about trust. And make sure that it's 100% trust. When you do trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely. And as he said, there shouldn't be those ifs and buts, or but this and this, or if such and such. No, trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the way Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, trusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the cave. This was trust, my dear viewers, where they give everything. They trusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were not worried. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, that's it, do not worry, there's nothing to worry. Although they were right there. They were right there in front of them, out to kill them. But even then, you've trusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are you worried for? Even if the person was to look directly, he could have been blinded. This is true trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah, you are watching Rise and Shine. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun